The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to First Take on a Tuesday. The crew is on your screen. That is Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman. I'm Molly Karen Rose. Gentlemen, top of the morning to you. Let's get after it. We got plenty of playoffs to get into here, and we got a one-hour show, so we're going to rip through this. Despite being down by 18 at one point, the Hawks rise up and even the series with Philly. After a slow start, Trae Young finished the win with a game-high 25 points to go along with 18 assists, 4 rebounds. On the other side, the Sixers saw all 5 of their starters score in double figures, but in the end, not enough to get the J.O.B. done. The series will shift back to Philadelphia on Wednesday night for what now is essentially a best-of-3 series. The big fella had 21 boards last night, clearly bothered by his knee, but he's not stressing it.
It happens. Bad game happens. I've been playing well, and sometimes you just can't control it. Sometimes I thought in the second half a bunch of shots went in and out. There was a couple calls that could have gone, either way. I can do better. I can always be better. But as far as, you being 100%, I don't think that's going to happen, until the year is actually over. So I said, I just got to go out and, manage it and just deal with it.
For perspective, Embiid's 12 misses in last night's second half are the most without a make in any half over the last 25 seasons. The Hawks' 13-point halftime deficit marked the team's largest in a playoff comeback win since 1963. Hawks could do it. I don't know about those Falcons, though. Stephen A., would you characterize this as an Atlanta comeback or a Philly collapse?
Well, it's definitely a Philly collapse. That's how I view it. I mean, when I see Trae Young shooting 30% from the field, Bogdanovich shooting 36%, 37% from the field, and they're your two leading scorers for the Atlanta Hawks, to me it's not about what they did. It's about what the Philadelphia 76ers did to themselves. Joel Embiid is not healthy. We got all of that. But if you're healthy enough to be on a court in the second half, you are not healthy enough to make one shot out of 12? You go 0 for 12, you averaging at least 15 free throws a game, you go to the free throw line 4 times, you 7 feet, you 7'1", 270, 280. You can't find a way to get to the free throw line, you can't find a way to make one bucket, but it's not really about him because, again, I understand that he is hurt. I totally get that. Here's my issue. Tobias Harris, my brother. Tobias Harris scores 20 points, shoots 8 of 15 from the field, a very respectable 53%. You cannot shoot 15 times when you know good and damn well Joel Embiid is not healthy. You're Tobias Harris. You got skills. You can ball. You got to take the ball. I don't want to say, I'm not talking about hero ball the way that Doc Rivers decried, but you got to take the bull by the horn. Seth Curry made a decent amount of his shots. Tobias Harris made a decent amount of his shots, better than a decent amount of shots. You got to take the ball and say, my man is hurt. My big man ain't ready right now. He ain't right now. Give me the damn ball, and I'll do what I need to do. We can't have that. Tobias Harris has to be more aggressive. And I said this, Max, last week. Tobias Harris has to be taken 20 to 25 shots a game, especially if Embiid is not healthy. That didn't happen last night.
But if he doesn't, that's not a collapse by the Sixers. Look, injury is deciding these whole playoffs, right? We were so nervous about the bubble. There should be an asterisk. Stop it, everybody. The bubble was fine. The best team won. This year, the fears were justified. Short offseason, compressed schedule. What's going to happen? Look at every playoff series. The best player on every team is hurt, right? That's what happened. That's what happened to Embiid. He's playing on a torn meniscus. I'm not going to blame Embiid for having a bad night when he just gave you 39, 40, and 27, and two of those were wins, and one of them should have been one. No, it's not on Embiid. It's not on a Sixers collapse. This is about the Atlanta Hawks and the comeback. It's about Trae Young showing himself again. This is one of these amazing star turns, and it's not just like Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray were amazing in last year's first round. This is Trae Young series after series showing you greatness in different ways. This time it was up, shots not falling early. What am I going to do? Gets his teammates involved. That's infectious. His teammates then pick up on that, and the Hawks are moving the ball the entire game. He didn't shoot it great, but he found another way to have a giant impact on the game and led a comeback down, was it 20-something points? Led a comeback all the way back to win. Was the opportunity there because of Embiid's knee? No doubt. If Embiid's healthy, the Sixers win. He's the best player in this series. But he's not. And you have to figure out a way to get it done when it's not your night. And that's what Trae Young did. The Hawks came back. That was the story of this game.
Well, I think your point would be far more profound if there wasn't an 18-point deficit that they had to climb out of. If you're the Philadelphia 76ers, why do you lose an 18-point lead with a guy that's shooting 30% from the field? And the only people that shot decently, I mean, your two primary scorers were you, Trae Young, and Bogdanovich. And Bogdanovich shot 37% and you shot 30%. It happened because the Philadelphia 76ers offensively collapsed. Because even though Embiid was a bit hampered because of his injury, and I'm not blaming him per se, I'm saying that you go 0-for-12 on one leg, Embiid could go 3-for-12. On one leg, he could do it because that's how gifted he is. So 0-for-12 in the second half is a bit alarming. But more than that is the fact that a guy like Tobias Harris, shooting decently from the field, what's up with the passiveness? Why is Embiid taking no shots instead of you when you look at your teammate and you know he's not near 100%? Why did that happen? And that's the point of it all. You can't let that happen. When you're playing a game of basketball and you're looking at your teammate and he's hobbled, you got to know that's your moment to step up and say, yo, coach, fellas, I got this. Come to me. Especially since he wasn't struggling and he was making shots. And Seth Curry was making shots.
Joel Embiid has had a heroic series so far, playing on that torn meniscus and three out of the four games.
But yesterday he was clearly aggravated, Max.
Yesterday. It got worse. Something happened. Hopefully the tear didn't get worse. Something got worse. You could say, well, teammates need to step up more than they did. Okay, fine. The opening was there because of Embiid, and we all knew, like,
and
if you like the Sixers,
lead.
It's because he's the best player in the series. You didn't mention John Collins. He got hotter later in the game. That's an almost 20-point a game scorer normally.
About three or four of them were dunks.
I mean,
lighting it up from outside.
But he is about a 40% shooter from outside normally. He's a scorer normally. He's a good player. Like, the Hawks have good players. But the Sixers with a healthy Embiid are too much. The opening was there. It's around a 20-point deficit. And the most impressive thing is when your star – can't buy a shot, which was Trae Young early, especially a little guy like that. What's he going to do? Trae Young showed you. He showed you. Got his teammates involved. He led by example. They became unselfish, and they came back on him. This is a feel-good story for the Hawks today.
Well, of course it's a feel-good story for the Hawks. It shouldn't be a feel-good story for Max Kellerman. I understand if Trae Young or Nate McMillan or John Collins or somebody was sitting there and saying, yeah, we feel good. This is about us. Sure, they should say it. But Max Kellerman, I mean, it's nothing about it that should be a feel-good moment for you.
Why? I saw a great young player.
The point I'm trying to make is that you had an 18-point lead. You dominated the previous two games. And then dominated the first half. So, in other words, whatever mojo that you had working for you in games two and three that enabled you to take control of the series, you had in the first half of game four, and then Embiid gets hobbled, and suddenly you forget how to play basketball.
But it's also it's also on the defensive end. When Embiid is healthy defensively, he can totally change a game, change people's minds, change the complexion of the other offense. When he's not so healthy, Collins gets a bunch of dunks.
The Atlanta Hawks shot 36% from the field and 30% from three-point range. If you ask Doc Rivers and the Philadelphia 76ers what they were looking for defensively, that's exactly what they were looking for. They just didn't plan on being so putrid offensively once Joel Embiid was clearly hobbled.
You give Atlanta credit. You're still salty about the Knicks series?
I'm not actually.
Credit.
I'm not actually. Atlanta's the Atlanta was the better team. They beat the Knicks. I'm over that.
Was
I'm
it
beyond
the 17
that.
Years
I think
in
about
Philly?
The New York. I think about the New York Knicks the next year. I'm focused on being objective about the rest of these
focused
playoffs.
On being...
Atlanta was the better team against New York. They're
Is
not
much?
The better team against the Philadelphia 76ers. The 76ers blew that game last
well,
night.
Well, if Embiid's not healthy, they may be the better team. That's the whole thing. But it's interesting. Your Knicks, the Hawks play your Knicks. Then you spent 17 years in Philly. Now they're playing your Sixers, and you still don't want to give them credit for coming back.
Okay.
You really think that I'm going to fit? You have any idea how many times I've crucified the 76ers?
Yeah, okay.
That's, he just not, expects not, more from Philly. That's
not,
what it is.
We're not talking about crucifying the Sixers. We're talking about, which are, by the way, that's continuation, right? They collapsed. And B got hurt. Atlanta took advantage.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Call going to Golden State the weakest move you've ever seen.
Yeah.
I wanted to prove him wrong on the basketball court and show whoever that was listening to him that wasn't weak as a basketball player.
I meant what I said when I said that. But where I had to change course was when people were trying to interpret that as me saying he's weak. No, that's not what I was saying. I was saying he's so great. How dare you join our already juggernaut?
Okay, that was Stephen A. on the boardroom when Kevin Durant took his talents to Golden State and the fallout from that move. And then he made another major move. That was to Brooklyn, where he hoped to play in a big three again. However, tonight it'll likely be a big one. James Harden upgraded to doubtful with the hammy. Kyrie Irving out with the ankle. Stephen A., what is at stake for KD tonight?
Says he's got to get it done. The Brooklyn Nets, in my opinion, are not winning this series without Kevin, without Kyrie and James Harden. It's not going to happen. After they went up 0-2, they were up 49 points. We saw an annihilation in place, and the Bucks showed up for Game 3, which we both predicted would happen. But still, we didn't see any way that the Brooklyn Nets were going to lose this series so long as they were healthy enough to play. That's not the case. Kyrie Irving and James Harden are both out. And I don't expect the Brooklyn Nets to win this series without Kyrie and James Harden. But who knows if they would be available for Game 7, which takes us to Game 5. Because Milwaukee's winning Game 6. They're not losing Game 6 in Milwaukee. They will win that game. So to me, it comes down to tonight. And where I became one of my most famous quotes, Max and Molly, was in 2001. When I was a beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer covering Allen Iverson and the Philadelphia 76ers. My boy Kevin Frazier for Entertainment Tonight always brings this up because they were interviewing me and I said the Lakers in five, it's nothing to discuss. And everybody was like, well, why aren't you calling a sweep? And I said, oh, AI will get you one. AI will get you one. 6 feet, 160 pounds, soaking wet, the answer, Allen Iverson rolled into the Staples Center and dropped 48 and stepped over Ty Lue to clinch the deal. It was just one game. I knew they wouldn't win another, but he got you one. Because in the game of basketball, when you are that dude, when you are that superstar caliber player, you can get a game. Not the series, but a game. That's what we're asking Kevin Durant to do tonight. Please understand something. I don't know if anybody knows this. Max, I don't know if anybody has said this before. Kevin Durant is the greatest player in the history of New York. There's been not Clyde Frazier in 1971, not Patrick Ewing, not Carmelo Anthony, no one. Kevin Durant is the greatest basketball player to ever represent the city of New York in basketball.
That's true.
Period.
That's true.
There's no doubt about it, okay? You can, 7 feet, arguably, one of the top three scorers in the history of basketball. You can't just show up for one game, although you're 44 games removed from that Achilles injury. You can't show up for one night and get one game. I believe he can. I believe he will. I believe a night like tonight, KD drops 50. And it saves Brooklyn for a few days, hoping that Kyrie and or James Harden can come back for game 7, because they're going to lose game 6. They don't even need to travel to Milwaukee.
You don't get to get – No, you can't get away with that. Time out. Wait a minute. KD doesn't have Kyrie or James Harden, right? You know who else doesn't have Kyrie or James Harden? Giannis. He never has Kyrie or James Harden. When he plays KD, the second best player in the series will always be on KD's team. Middleton and Holiday show up as stars sometimes, which is why they're not perennial all-stars. They're sometimes all-stars. Harden and Kyrie, those guys show up all the time. That's why they're perennial all-stars, and in Harden's case, and a perennial MVP candidate. Now, all of a sudden, Giannis has the second and third best player, you know, outside of Giannis and KD in the series. Now it's KD, Giannis, and then the next two best players are both on Giannis's team. And now all of a sudden, KD gets off the hook. Why? Well, you weren't letting Giannis off the hook. I was. I'm not expecting KD to win the series now. He doesn't have a set. He still has Joe Harris. Shoot the lights out. Still has Blake Griffin.
I'll answer your question.
Blake Griffin, good. He hit you with a double-double, basically averaging for the series. And if he needs to step up, he's capable of more. We saw him posterize Giannis. Physically, he looks good again. No. If you're not letting Giannis off the hook, then KD doesn't get off the hook either in this case. And if you think KD can win one game, well, look, when you say a star can get you one, I remember LeBron James had one game of Kyrie Irving against the Warriors in 2015. They lost that game in overtime. Then he didn't have Kyrie the rest of the series. Also didn't have Kevin Love all series. Got two. You're saying one game to start a series? You're saying KD can get one game now? There are three games left. If you can get one, now it's going to come down to a one game winner go home. You should be able to get that one too. Giving KD a pass because he doesn't have his guys, but you should hold him to the same standard you hold Giannis.
Well, first of all, that's a very ignorant statement for a couple of reasons. Number one, KD, give me KD with Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, and I still would have picked him. What I'm saying to you is this. When I get on Giannis, I get on Giannis for two things. Number one, his perimeter shooting or lack thereof. And number two, the fact that you called him the best player in the world. Those are the things that I get on Giannis about. In terms of, I never picked Giannis to win this series. I said Brooklyn all day, every day. I said Brooklyn at the beginning of the season. I said Brooklyn coming into this series. And I said Giannis against KD, it's no real match because he can't hit perimeter shots. He needs somebody else to do that for him, particularly in tight playoff competition, because he can't make those perimeter shots. And I think that's been proven true. Even though Giannis is big time, that's his Achilles heel. The case with Kevin Durant, Joe Harris can't hit shots away from the Barclays Center. Blake Griffin suddenly looked like he was in Detroit again. Okay, Jeff Green just returned after being out throughout the playoffs because of his injury. And again, whether it's Kyrie or James Harden, I've been on the record stating just one of them with him, KD will win. But to ask him to win this series without them, I think is a bit much. But again, you take one game at a time, and in my opinion, he should be able to deliver the goods tonight. One game to force a game 7 back at the Barclays Center. He should be able to win one game.
Three things. One, I said Giannis was the best player in the world because he was the reigning regular season MVP. And as a prediction, I thought he would do well in that playoffs. He did not.
You
and
highlighted so how say, others won that league that MVP, was, but they was, weren't the best.
I get it. But
just
that
because
was
he was the MVP didn't make him the best.
That was, well, given his age, his size, the kind of player he was, that was predictive
well,
on my part.
Well, you were the only
part.
Person on the planet assumed, that didn't know that he, had okay. it, he didn't have
that's
a jump
okay.
shot.
Sometimes you make predictions that are wrong. And when the series was over, I was like, okay, my prediction on Giannis was wrong. That's number one. Number
it
two,
when the series
if
was
KD,
over. It was when the week it was
if
over.
KD had Middleton and Drew Holiday and Giannis had Harden and Kyrie, Giannis's team would win. Absolutely, Giannis's team would win if he had Harden and Kyrie. That's two. Three, you
That's
are
not
saying.
True. I don't think
you,
it's absolutely
you
true.
You are saying KD is the best player in the world. You said he's number one, right? Let me just remind you again.
Yeah, go ahead.
LeBron in 2015. No, Kyrie for one game, no Kevin Love. So no games, one game with Kyrie, no Kevin Love. And they lost the game with Kyrie with Matthew Dellavedova as his main support. Took the Steph, Clay, Dre Warriors, Iggy Warriors, six games. Six games, won two from
Max,
those guys.
Max.
Let's see, Kevin Love has more around Max, him than LeBron Max. Had that year.
How many
right now.
Times, how many times have I told you to be quiet about that particular series? That the Golden State Warriors had never won before. They were babies. They were babies.
So they didn't when win Kyrie, the next year.
Kyrie got no, when Kyrie got hurt the first year, and Kevin Love had gotten hurt in the series against Boston that forced him to miss the remainder of the playoffs. LeBron was the one with championship experience. He was the best player in the world at that time as well. And he was going up against a relatively young squad. So winning two games against them wasn't as significant as when he won
later on. Stop right there. How much championship experience does this Bucks team have? Because KD has won multiple championships
yeah,
now.
But we're not,
he's a two-time finals
but
MVP.
But we're talking injuries, Max.
You took, yeah, you but so LeBron injuries would dealt with that, too.
You brought up injuries at the beginning of the show. What
yeah.
I'm saying to you is because Kyrie is gone and because James Harden is gone, you look at the rest of his team, I'm not going to sit up there and say, with those trees, those big boys, and the bodies that they're throwing at him, you see the physicality that they've allowed PJ to play with, okay? So if you don't have any kind of help whatsoever, that's a tough team to beat. But I'm taking it game to game, and I'm saying to you that KD, being
you
a prolific
a
offensive player, can sit up there. And it's not a different standard.
You have a different standard for LeBron and KD. Two different standards. LeBron was playing the baby Warriors with Steph, Dre, Clay, and Iggy. KD is playing
how many years
the
ago
baby
was that?
Bucks.
How many years
ago
was that?
Championship experience. The this, point
this
is,
this is
they
why
don't
I get annoyed talking basketball
either.
With you because you bring up irrelevant, nonsensical points
you
that have absolutely nothing to do
with
that. How many years ago was that?
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia,
visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
We had maybe the best dunk of the playoffs last night and an injury scare to go with it to his right leg in the fourth. Kawhi Leonard posterizing Derek Favors. Kawhi and Paul George both had 31. Marcus Morris adding double digits as well. Despite Donovan Mitchell finishing with 37, it wasn't enough. They clearly missed Mike Conley, who was out with a hamstring. The Jazz shot only 14 of 40 in the first half. Here's Playoff P on Kawhi after the game.
You know what time it is. It's written all over them in terms of it's go time, it's playoff basketball, and you know, ultimately it's winning time. And so you see it all around him, his approach, his body language, everything is to you know, be great. And so you know, he's leading the way.
This would be your first trip to the Western Conference Finals in franchise history for the Clippers. What would it mean to you and the organization to advance?
I don't care about the Western Conference Finals. I'm trying to win a championship. I mean, obviously, that's the next step, but I'm not even looking at that. So I don't even know if we took criticism. I don't know what's going on the outside world.
Max, who do you trust more now, Clippers or the Jazz?
The Clippers. And the reason is Kawhi is still playing, and Paul George is still playing, right? And Mike Conley isn't. This entire playoff season has been determined by injury. You look at the Hawks-Sixers. You know who's going to win? If the Sixers are healthy, they'll win. Otherwise, the Hawks will win. Nets-Bucks. We all know the Nets are going to win. Unless they don't have their guys, then the Bucks will win. Same thing with Clippers-Jazz. Right now, Kawhi's playing. Let's see how he responds, because he didn't look great at the end of that game physically. And Mike Conley isn't. And since Paul George has shown up recently, the Clippers will win. Unless Mike Conley comes back and Kawhi's not playing or is a really diminished version of himself, then the Jazz will win. Stephen A., if you're wondering, hey, let's say everyone's available, who's going to win this series? The answer is the Clippers, because Paul George has finally arrived in the playoffs and he's done it for a couple games now. He keeps this up, the Clippers will win. But I do think the determining factor will be, does Conley get back on the court? And if so, can Kawhi stay on it?
Are you listening to yourself? Well, I trust the Clippers, and the Clippers will win. Unless Mike Conley shows up, and then they would lose. You know, Kawhi could be Kawhi, and Paul George could be Paul George. But if Mike Conley shows up, but then it's the Clippers. But then again, it could be the Jazz because Mike Conley might show up. I'm going with the Jazz.
If Kawhi's hurt, don't misrepresent it.
Excuse me?
Don't misrepresent it. I'm saying if Kawhi's hurt and he didn't look great at the end of the game, the Jazz will win. That's why it's injury. If everyone's healthy, Clippers will win because Paul George has arrived.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Everyone's healthy, the Utah Jazz will win this series, because I think they'll win both games in Utah. I think they win Wednesday. They lose Friday at the Staples Center. And then you got a Game 7 back in Utah, which I think that they will win, because I think that Donovan Mitchell is the biggest star on the stage. I think he'd be a bigger star than Kawhi Leonard, or just as big of a star as Kawhi Leonard, and the supporting cast of the Utah Jazz will come through. I love what I'm seeing from the Clippers. Having said that, Marcus Morris had a big-time performance last night. That can't go unnoticed. 24 points. You don't usually get that from him, but you got that from him last night, including 7 or 8 free throws, so I give him major props. Paul George and Kawhi both dropping 31. That's a beautiful thing. But the Utah Jazz are not healthy right now. Donovan Mitchell was not himself. I was at the game. He didn't look like himself at all. You should have saw him off camera, man, while the game was going on, Max. They're stretching him. He's laying back behind the bench near the tunnel, and they're stretching him and trying to put him through stuff during the game, because he clearly was not healthy at all. You need him. You need Mike Conley. But if we're going to make the assumption everybody's healthy, then I've got to see it to believe that the Clippers would beat the Utah Jazz in Utah for a Game 7. If it was the Staples Center, I'd roll with the Clippers. But a Game 7 in Utah, I have a hard time believing that the Clippers team that we've watched over the last couple of years would win that game. I hope I'm wrong, because unapologetically, I would rather be in L.A. than Salt Lake City for the NBA Finals.
Had a good night's sleep in Salt Lake City, Steve.
But it's a beautiful city, and I heard they got nice burgers, but damn it, no. I mean, if I got a choice between the L.A. and Salt Lake City, I'm going to pick all L.A. all day, every day.
Nice burgers?
Yeah, somebody,
You're hilarious.
They sent up some dude, Molly, keeps setting my Get At Me segment on Stephen A's World on ESPN Plus. He keeps sending in these videos bragging about the burgers that they got in Utah and how I need to come and get one
Very
of those.
Cute.
Yeah, that's what he keeps saying. I ain't eating a damn burger, okay? But the point is, in the end, Utah is a pretty damn tough place to play. Their home crowd is sensational. I think it would not Kawhi. But I think it would be a lot to ask anybody else, or do we trust that they'll come through when it counts in a game seven? That's what makes game five so pivotal.
First of all, a burger is the perfect food, and I would love to. If they're
No. This particular burger,
that.
Max, it looked nasty. Like bacon. It had some other stuff on it. I didn't like how it looked. It looked like a heart attack waiting to happen.
Well,
that's my personal
opinion. That's a separate story. That makes it look better.
It looked like a heart attack waiting to happen. It didn't look healthy.
I don't think that you can set – the reason I focused on health, Stephen A., is because did you listen to yourself when you went through it? You're like – I don't like the way Donovan Mitchell looks. Mike Conley's not playing. We just don't know who's going to be ready to play in terms of health.
But we all don't know
at the end of that game.
That's why you saw my reaction like that, because we all don't know. Obviously, injuries play a role. That's obvious.
Well, okay.
Obvious. So, assuming health, this is where I stand.
Whoa.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, I get it. But what I'm saying is, because of the compressed schedule and the shortened offseason, every fear about injury has come to pass.
By the way,
Stephen
question
a,
for you.
I don't ever remember injury having an impact on the playoffs, on every series like
Quick
it does right
now.
Quick
question for you. Quick question for you. Because I'm trying to figure out why you let players off the hook on this. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, Molly and Max. There was a 4.5-month hiatus because of COVID-19 before bubble play resumed, before play resumed in the bubble. Then most of the league was home by September. With the exception of four teams. So essentially, you come back for a month and a half, all right, after a 4.5-month break, and then you got 3 additional months off before the next season started, with the exception of about 4 teams, okay? So what the hell is all of this stuff about?
Well, getting hurt.
It was a short. Well, because they didn't take care of themselves.
None of, like, Stephen A., think of how many. It would be one thing if it was a guy here or a guy there, but it's every walk of life, every size. LeBron, AD, Embiid, Harden, Kyrie. Just pick a team. Donovan Mitchell, you just said, is in bad shape. We saw Kawhi not looking great at the end of that game. Pick a series like Atlanta, the Sixers.
Nobody's denying the injuries. I'm just saying that you can't let people off the hook acting like they were playing all year long through the summer in October, and then they had to come back in December. That is not the case.
No, that's right.
For these guys. Yeah, 4.5 months off.
For a lot of them. But let's put it this way, point blank. The right team won the finals last year. Everyone complains about the bubble. It worked out fine. The Lakers won. They were the best team. This year, I was where you are. Like, oh, stop, everybody. It's, 72 games. You can do it. But look at the results. Dude, every single series is being decided by injury.
And some dudes, not all, but some dudes didn't take care of themselves, and that's something that we need to highlight, because with the money that you're getting paid, it ain't like you got to go and work at Lowe's or Home Depot or something in the offseason. You got enough money to prioritize taking care of yourself, right, to making sure you're ready to roll once the season rolls around.
They used to do that in sports, major sports. The athletes,
they used
great
to do that. That's why I brought that up.
Used to have to go and get jobs in the offseason.
That's not the case now.
Stocking shelves and stuff.
Yep. Not with the money they're getting paid. You can take care of yourself.
Every time
they
do that.